Hi, and welcome to Mr. O's Sideways View, a blog and podcast dedicated to all those folks who aren't me. And I've noticed a surprisingly large number of people who aren't. Anyway, I'm Mr. O, and it's time to take another sideways view at our crazy world.
You may have noticed I did not post last week. Oh, I hope you noticed. I'm really sensitive about things like that, and you wouldn't want to see me cry. It's not a pretty sight. Then again, maybe you would. I mean, people love horror movies, don't they? I didn't post last week because I was on a very strange food journey. I didn't expect to go on a food journey. I didn't want to go on a food journey. I thought I was going on a business trip to scope out and schmooze a client in South Florida, but it turned into an impromptu, unexpected food journey. You may have already surmised this because I said food journey four times. My followers are just so smart. Now I like food. I eat food almost every day. I like to taste regional foods. What I didn't know is that all the food in South Florida has a story attached to it. For example, one lunchtime we ate Cubano sandwiches. These are very good. They also have a long history, which takes more time to tell than it takes to eat the freaking sandwich. The sandwich contains ham, roast pork, Swiss cheese, pickles, and mustard, all on Cuban bread. So far, so good. However, then there's the story. It seems the workers in the tobacco fields and cigar factories of Cuba were all poor. In the early morning, the bakers would deliver small loaves of bread in netted bags. Why the netted bags? I don't know, but this was a detail which could not be overlooked. Maybe they also used the bags for fishing, and that contributed to the flavor. Either way, when you hung the netted bag on the door of a poor Cuban's house, the baker would pick up yesterday's netted bag for reuse. I guess it was a good system, but having a fishy netted bag hanging on a door all day and night would attract bugs and vermin. That's not very sanitary. I would really like to know what the washing policy of the netted bags was. Sadly, this was not part of the story. I'm thinking it was just left out to avoid government intervention. The wives of the workers would go get the loaves from the bag and make one sandwich because the working man needed all the calories the poor family could provide. Roast pork, which was usually leftovers from the night before's dinner, a slice of ham for taste because it was a delicacy, pickles because they were cheap and flavorful, and mustard. Sorry, the mustard was never explained. You'd think with all the other details it would have been. The sandwich was then wrapped in paper and taken to the fields. As it was a big sandwich, it could be nibbled on all day by the worker for his 12-plus hour shift. This must have been a great system. With everybody bringing the same sandwich every day, there couldn't have been much trading like what happened with me in school. For us, it was trading peanut butter for bologna. For them, Hector might say, "Hey Luis, what you got for lunch?"
"I got a Cubano sandwich. What you got?"
"I got a Cubano too. Wanna trade?"
"Nah."
And that was just lunch. You don't even want to hear the story of the Peking duck we ate for dinner. It starts with them bringing a dead duck right to your table and asking if it's good enough. It's glazed dark brown and steaming with its head curved backwards in its death throes. What are you supposed to say?
"I don't know. Could you bring me another one so I could compare them?"
"I'd be willing to bet they've only got one duck back there. They bring it out to the silly, squeamish Americans who avert their eyes, agree it's great, and wave them away. Then the staff sticks it back in the warmer, serves chicken to the people, while laughing at the exorbitant prices they're charging. It's the same with wine. They open it in front of you and have you taste it. You say it's good and they pour the rest of the table. Has anybody ever sent one back? Actually, I did once. Not because I didn't like it, because I wanted to see what they do. Honest, the server came back with the manager and asked why I didn't like it. She was challenging me, calling my bluff. Now I had to make up a story about fruitiness and acidity to try to prove I knew what I was talking about. She pulled a couple of names out of the air saying I should like them better. I don't think either of us had a clue of what we were talking about. In the end, I did pick one, but frankly, it tasted exactly like the first one. I wouldn't be surprised if all they did was change the label and bring it back to me. But I digress. The second night, we went to a seafood place. It didn't even have a menu. I kid you not. Before we sat down, the server took us to a display containing various dead fish, shrimp, crabs, and live lobsters. We were supposed to pick our dinner right out of the ocean. I'm not cowardly, and I know where food comes from, but looking at a display of dead and live sea creatures being told to select one to eat is kind of disturbing. When I hesitated, the server tried to entice me by pointing at one of nature's creatures and describing what its flavor and texture would be like. This was not helping. You can't look at a cow and think, would his haunches or back taste better today? By the way, next to the fish, there was a selection of raw steaks with a picture of a steer above them to indicate where each came from, just in case you were thinking about a cow. Just as I was about to order a salad, a certain fish jerked, flopped onto the floor. I said I wanted that one. I figured it was better to go with the suicidal one as opposed to eating one which wanted to live. The server smiled.
Ah, ocean pike. Excellent choice.
I was able to sit down and have a drink, thinking all the weirdness was over. But I was wrong. When my excellent choice ocean pike arrived, it had been filleted with the top half flipped up and the head and tail still attached. I started to complain, but stopped when they brought another guy his lobster. The thing showed up bright red, whole, and served with a saw to get through the still intact shell. If he was tough enough to manage it, so was I. You'd think after I had to kill my own dinner, I'd get it for a bit less. But no, let's just say I'm glad I wasn't paying that bill. Wow! Needless to say, my company got the contract. I don't think it was because we were better. I'm sure it's because I survived all their crap.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you laughed a lot. Stop by anytime. Open 24/7 for your smiling convenience. If you liked it, push like or share it with a friend. If you missed an episode, you can hear Mr. O on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and Spotify. Remember to subscribe so you won't miss it again. If you'd like, you can send me an email at ohssidewaysview@gmail.com. That's ohssidewaysview@gmail.com. And remember what I always say, laugh now. You can be crabby anytime.